I want to ask you a question this morning as I begin so that I can identify the people that I want to speak to this morning. So I want you to listen to this question and then just lift your hand. How many of you know somebody that's in heaven this morning? Would you just lift your hand? You know of somebody that's in heaven this morning. Hold your hand up. Just hold them up just for a second. Hold them up. You know somebody that's in heaven this morning. Know somebody that's in heaven. Okay, thank you. You can put your hands down. I want to speak to you this morning. I want to speak to every single person here that knows somebody in heaven. And everybody raised their hand, so that means I want to speak to everybody. My message this morning is a very simple one. Don't forget the dead. Don't forget the dead. And the activities of the week spoke to my heart. And I hope that the Holy Spirit will speak to yours this morning. Adam read in Hebrews chapter 12, the chapter starts out saying, wherefore, wherefore, wherefore usually points to something that happened before. And wherefore in chapter 12 is pointing back to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 is a hall of faith for the believer. It's like a hall of fame, but it's a hall of faith, because in Hebrews chapter 11, the writer of Hebrews goes down a list of men and women that lived their life in faith toward God. You go back to Hebrews chapter 11, I won't mention them all for sake of time this morning, but you'll see that Abel is mentioned, Enoch is mentioned, Noah is mentioned, Abraham and Sarah is mentioned, Jacob, and there's about 10 other people that are mentioned by name, and then there's some categories. Prophets, for example, are mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. In Hebrews chapter 11, it says it's impossible to please God without faith. And the writer of Hebrews, again, is holding all these up as examples of faith, examples of how we can please God. And then he comes to verse 12 and he says, wherefore we are seeing we also are compassed about, surrounded with so great a cloud of witnesses. Now, it's a sort of a sporting event analogy, but I want you to understand that there's a difference between a spectator and a witness. A spectator is one that goes to a baseball game or a football game and watches the game, but is not really interested in how it comes out. The person has never played football or baseball. He's just going and seeing a sporting event, and when he leaves, he won't think much about it. He may be glad that the team that he rooted for won, but he won't think about the game very often because he's just a spectator. A witness is a different story. A witness as used in this context is somebody that has played the game, somebody that is very interested in how it comes out because they've been there, somebody that will cheer and encourage those that are participating in the game to do their best, somebody that will pray for those that are participating in the game. Now, of course, you figured it out. We're talking about the game of life. We're talking about life itself. And what the Bible is saying is that as we live our life as Christians, there is a great cloud of witnesses about us, those that are mentioned in chapter 11, as well as everybody we know in heaven. They are part of that great cloud of witnesses that have walked where we have walked, are very concerned about what happens as we walk in this life, are cheering us and rooting us and encouraging us on, and are praying for us. You say, preacher, do you believe people pray in heaven? I sure do. I believe there's people in heaven that go up to Jesus and say, hey, I see what's going on down there in my son or my grandson or my daughter's life. You need to help them. I think that goes on in heaven. I think they see what goes on. And so that's why that verse says, because we're surrounded with this cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. That's one of the reasons we should live right, because this great cloud of witnesses is seeing what's going on in our life. Now, that's not my message this morning. That's a good truth. I mean, that's a good reason. We want to please God, and we please God by doing right. And we ought to think about all those other people that are in heaven that forms our cloud of witnesses. We ought to want to do right because they're watching as well. But that's not my message. My message is, don't forget the dead. Here's what I mean by that. I mentioned Thursday in the funeral service for Al. I said on several occasions, Al is not dead. His body is dead. His body this morning lies in the grave. It will return to the dust from which it was made. But Al is not dead. Those of you that know people in heaven, you can probably go to a graveyard today and you can find a marker and you can find a grave of somebody you knew, somebody that you loved, whose body lays in that grave. But I would remind you this morning, they are not dead. The person that you knew, the person that you loved, yeah, their body stayed here. You've heard that story about where a mother was consoling her daughter at the casket, and the preacher came up wanting to say a kind word to him to encourage him, and said, hey, your husband and your dad, not dead. This is just a shell. The nut went to heaven. and the story of that guy was a nut. And Al was a nut at times, right? Well, but look, when their body lays in the casket, that's just their body. The person you knew is not dead, never died, went to heaven to live with Jesus. And so, well, sometimes we forget that fact. And my message this morning is very simple. Don't forget the dead. Look, when I moved to Indiana, when I got through at college, and I went a couple years and lived in Indiana to get some further school. It didn't help me much, but I went anyway. And so I was separated from my parents. I was separated from my grandmas and my grandpas. They weren't there. They did not move to Indiana with me. They were still here. But they were not around me. I was not around them. But you know what? I still thought about them. I still talked to them. Sometimes they would call me on the phone, although we didn't have a phone. We had to set up a system where they'd, at a certain time, they'd call the payphone, and we would go to the payphone to wait for a call from home. But they called me. They were still concerned about what was going on in my life, and I still wanted to stay close to them. And so I thought about them. We weren't together, but they were still alive, and I was still alive, and we thought about each other, and we talked to one another. I don't want to seem weird this morning, but I want to remind you, if you know somebody in heaven, they are not dead. They are just living in a different place than you are living. I could go back to Michigan. I can visit with my parents. We can't go to heaven to visit with them, and they don't come back to visit with us. But they are just as much alive in heaven as they were when they were inside a body and walked on this earth. And this morning, my message is simple. Don't forget the dead. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, I want you to, you don't need to turn in your Bibles, but I want you to listen to this. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gift, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. You see, God told Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel how he wanted them to approach him. He said, I want you to bring a blood sacrifice. Abel did that. And God accepted Abel's offering. Cain did not, and God rejected Cain's offering. And that verse in Hebrews is saying that because of that gift and because of that obedience that Abel exhibited when he came to God with a blood offering, even though he is dead, yet he speaketh. That's the point of my message this morning. You know somebody in heaven. They're not dead. They're just in a different place. We cannot talk back and forth. I cannot send a card. But as I remember the dead, as I remember those that have gone to heaven, they will speak to me by the words that they spoke when they were here on this life, on this earth, and by the life they lived, by the example they set. That's what this verse is saying. He being dead yet speaketh. I know a bunch of people in heaven this morning. I know I got two grandmas there. I got a grandpa there. I have some dear friends there. Some we've buried together as a church. One of them we buried on Friday. And as I remember those that the world calls dead, they speak to me. You know what? You want to know what they're telling me this morning? They're telling me, first of all, you want to come to this place. Hey, here's what they're saying. Don't miss heaven. It's better than any preacher ever told you about. In fact, the Bible says, eye hath not seen nor ear heard of those things that God has prepared for those that love Him and that He loves. I could spend the rest of the day trying to describe heaven to you, and it would be like taking one drop of water out of the ocean and saying, here's what the ocean is like. I cannot in any way describe what Paul said. I knew a man out of the body, in the body or out of the body. I don't know. He went up to the third heaven. He says, it's unlawful for me to talk about it. I don't know how to describe it. And as the dead speak this morning, here's what they say. Don't miss heaven. Don't miss heaven. Heaven. I can remember my grandma. I've shared my testimony before. As she got older, her pointing finger sort of bent like that. And before I got saved, she would take that finger and point it in my face. And she would say, you're going to go to hell if you don't get saved. You say, that doesn't sound like a very loving grandma. You're going to go to... And I could just see her. I mean, she was about this tall. She had to look up and she'd point that finger in my face. You're going to go to hell if you don't get saved. But you know what? My grandma loved me enough to tell her grandson the truth. If you don't get saved, if you don't accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're going to split hell wide open. And she would shake that finger in my face and tell me over and over and over and over again. Sometimes I wanted to say, Grandma, can't we talk about something else? She says, do you like my cornbread? I said, I love your cornbread. Do you like my fried chicken? I love your fried chicken. She said, do you like my banana pudding? I love your banana pudding. She says, as long as you eat my chicken, cornbread, and my banana pudding, your grandma's going to tell you there's a heaven and a hell and you need to get saved. Now you listen to me this morning. You know somebody in heaven? They probably told you when they walked the face of this earth. They may have told you on their dying bed. They may have told you by their example, there is a heaven and there is a hell. And the only one that makes the difference between whether you go to heaven or hell when you leave this life is Jesus Christ. Amen. My grandma did not try to get me to become a Baptist. My grandma never talked to me about getting baptized until I got saved. But she never talked to me about getting baptized. She never talked to me about joining the church. But week after week after week after week after week, she talked to me about Jesus. And she said, I can remember, sometimes she would weep. And I think I've shared this with you before. I spent the night over at my grandma's house one Friday night. My grandpa and I were big buddies. And we'd listen to baseball games together. And he'd work late at night. And so Grandma would get up early. And her Bible time and her prayer time was early, early in the morning. And I can remember just a few weeks before I got saved, coming around the corner of the kitchen. And my grandma, as she always did, sat at the kitchen table. She had a big family Bible, like one of these that she would read from. And she had it open on the kitchen table. And her head was down in that Bible. And I could hear her crying. And she was praying out loud. And she was praying, "Dear God, don't let Daryl go to hell. Don't let him go to hell." A couple weeks later, we had a revival in our church, and her grandson got saved. Don't forget the dead. Don't forget the dead. There is somebody in heaven this morning that cares whether you go to heaven or you go to hell. They probably told you when you were here on earth. And they're that one of those clouds of witnesses that this morning, if you're here and you're not saved, you know what they're doing? They're probably going over to Jesus and tugging on his coat sleeve and say, "Hey, my grandson is in that service where that old preacher's talking about you. Or my daughter's in that service where that preacher's talking about you. Dear Jesus, would you help him get saved this morning? Would you tell the Holy Spirit to go to them? And in a special way, tell them that they need a Savior. Don't forget the dead." You know what else I hear this morning, real quickly? You know what else I hear this morning? I hear this. I hear it from Brother Al. I hear it from others that we've sent to heaven from this place. Here's what they say. "You know, everything in this life may not be easy. There may be some hard times that come. There may be some things that come into your life that you wish you could just snap your fingers and they'd be gone. But they would tell you, God sent them to draw you closer to Him. God let them come into your life so that you could learn to lean on Him more." That verse says, talking about Enoch and Enoch's faith, it says, "Without faith, it is impossible to please God." Harry, come up here for a second, help me. I want to show you what it is to please God this morning. We're going to let Harry play God. Feels pretty good, eh? You didn't hear him. He said, So here, Harry's God. I'm going to represent all of us. I'm a Christian. I'm saved. When I live my life over here and God's over there, it don't please God very much. And so God sends something to my life that sort of pushes me over this way. God's still not pleased. He's glad that I'm saved, and He's glad I'm trying to do right, but He wants me closer. So He sends something else into my life that pushes me over there further. And further, and further, and further. You know how we please God? When we realize that we cannot live this life by ourselves, and we grab hold of God, and we hang on to God, and we lean on God. That's how we please Him. Thank you, brother. That's how we please Him. And you know why He sends hardship, and you know why He sends trials, and you know why He sends heartaches into our life? It's not because He's mad at us. It's not because He's a mean God. It's because He's a loving God. And He wants to get us as close to Him as He can. I mentioned Thursday at the funeral, and you that knew Al know this is true. Not one time did I ever hear Him complain about being sick. Many times I heard Him say, "Oh, I'm so glad that God used this to bring me back to Him. Get me close to Him. Get me leaning on Him." You know, you're here this morning. You got a heartache in your life. You got something hard that you're having to live with. Don't get mad at God. Don't stand there apart from God and grit your teeth and say, "Well, I'm just going to get through this on my own." That's not what God wants. That's what our human nature leads us to do at times. I can just get through this on my own. I can just make it a few more days and maybe it'll go away. You got a loving God that says, I got to put a little bit more on him. I got to give him a little bit more trouble. He ain't getting the message yet. And God puts a little bit more on us because he wants us to break. And he wants us to get right up close to him and say, oh, I need thee. I need thee. I need thee. Don't forget to dad. There are people that you know in heaven that struggled with something, maybe for the last few years of their life or maybe for most of their life. And they speak this morning, if you'll remember them, if you'll remember their life, and they'll say, you have a God that loves you, and you have a God that wants to get you real close to him. Why don't you just sidle over there next to him and let him put his arm around you. Let him hold you up and you lean on him. Don't forget the dead. They're not dead. They just live in a different place. And they speak to us if we'll listen. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for being so good to us. Thank you for making the gospel so simple. And I pray this morning, if there's just one person here that's never asked Jesus to be their Savior, today would be the day. Help them to see that they're a sinner. And Father, the wages of sin is death. Help them to understand that there's nothing they can do to pay for that sin, but somebody's already paid for it, and that somebody is Jesus. When he went to the cross, he paid for every sin, and he offers the gift of salvation to every person that would come and take it this morning. And so I pray for every man, woman, every teenager, every boy and girl that's in this auditorium this morning, if they've never asked Jesus to be their Savior, I pray in the next few moments they would quit trying to work it out on their own and they would come to Jesus. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And Father, would you help them come this morning?